Today on Real Radio.
Joshua had to have been standing there and saying, it's been 40 years, almost to the day that we left Egypt. And now we've crossed 40 years to the day, and we're crossing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. And chapter 4 tells us the account of the entire nation of Israel crossing the Jordan. It had been 40 years, four decades of wandering through the desert since being freed from the tyranny of Egypt, and now the big moment, getting into the promised land, had arrived. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a look at this portion of Joshua in a study called Possessing God's Promises.
It says, then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, and the men of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken to them. And about 40,000 prepared for war to cross over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. And so Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up in the from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took up from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The title of the message is Possessing God's Promises. The Bible says that God has given us, Peter tells us, great and precious promises. Promises are, I think, at least I look at promises as I look at the word forget. You'll hear people say, well, I'll forgive you, but I can't forget. You know, that's true. None of us can forget. Don't ask somebody, will you forget all the wrong I've done to you? They can't forget. It's not a human attribute. We can't forget. Who forgets? God forgets. What does he forget? The sins of any or everyone who come to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He says, ah, you're forgiven. But, you know, we have a tendency in a few hours or a few weeks or a few days to come back and say, Lord, remember that sin I committed last year or last month or last lifetime of mine, you know, in my youth or whatever. Oh, and we're feeling condemnation and we dredge it up. God says, what sin? I forgot. He forgets. To forget is an attribute of God. We have to pick up the cross daily and deal with it. That's part of our frail human nature. God not only forgives, he forgets. But also, regarding this, God is the only one who can make a promise. Did you know that? Oh, we make them. And brother, you and I are the most sincere when we make them. We really do mean it. I promise to pick you up at 5 o'clock. We have the right intentions, but we often let people down. We don't mean to, but we have no power to fulfill a promise. You might say, well, I'm a man of my word. Well, that's great, and we should be. But there are things in life where in times past or times to come where we mean to fulfill with all of our heart. But because of powers outside of our own control, we so often fail at a promise. God never fails at his promises that he's made us. Did you know that? Never. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in the sarcastic question that's posed by the prophet to Israel, has God forgotten to fulfill his promise? Well, the answer to that is no, he hasn't. And he won't. Last time together, very quickly, by way of review, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, we talked about specifically two key memorials. We talked about how life has meaning. And that in a meaningful life, there are always memorials. Always. And in all of our lives, we are establishing memorials or monuments to what we believe and stand for. Right now, the United States of America is erecting a memorial to itself. Are you aware of that? Happening right now, even as we speak. The United States is no longer standing for the Constitution. The United States is no longer standing for the law. The United States says you can lie under oath. It's okay now. Go ahead. You can do it. Lie under oath. It's acceptable to the general populace. It's okay. You can do that. There's this vacillation. There's this changing. God never changes, but we, as God, set up memorials. We set up standards. And though the standards may be crumbling and in man's end, God's standards stand true. And last time we saw, we're in the memorial of God. He speaks through Joshua to the people, and the people are commanded to take what? 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan River and to take them to Gilgal. And there, as we'll see today, Joshua is going to put down those stones that the children of Israel, all 12 representatives, take these stones to that place, Gilgal. But there was a second memorial in place last time in our study, and that was by Joshua himself privately. Joshua, it says in verses 9 and 10, that Joshua went down into the midst of the Jordan River to the place where the priest's feet had stood in the midst of the river, which was the deepest part, and he erected 12 stones. These 12 stones, by the way, are stacked. The word implies that they were stacked on top of each other. When we get to Gilgal today, a little later today, they will not be stacked. They will be laid out in an order, horizontally on the ground. Joshua's memorial is erected vertically. Listen, one is very corporate, one is very public, one is to be seen by all people. That's going to happen at Gilgal with those 12 stones. The other is very private, it's very personal, and it will soon be swallowed up by the waters of the Jordan River. Do you remember that? The two memorials. Very important. One personal, one corporate. One from Joshua, one from the people. One seen by all, one seen by none only but God. And we talked about how it spoke of personal worship, private devotional life to God. Joshua was a worshiper. It doesn't say in there, Joshua, take 12 stones for yourself now and worship me in the midst of the Jordan River. It doesn't say that. Why? Because true worship and true love is impromptu from the heart. Comes from the heart. Joshua got up and he's probably watching the whole thing because, you know, the priests were the first ones in and then the last ones out, including Joshua. But he's sitting there, he might be looking at all this and saying, this is such an incredible day. We're here, Joshua might be thinking. In fact, I'm certain he thought this. I'm not guessing. It was the first month and the 10th day. Joshua had to have been standing there and saying, it's been 40 years, almost to the day that we left Egypt. And now we've crossed. 40 years to the day. And we're crossing. Deep thought. Oh God, you delivered us from Egypt, but our fathers before us in unbelief frustrated you. And as the book of Ezekiel says, that they so frustrated God in unbelief that the Holy Spirit, says in Ezekiel, turned and became their enemy. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit of God becoming your enemy? Unbelieving, doubt, rebellion against God. Now Joshua's standing there and he grabs 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan and he stacks them up. Private worship. By the way, you can always see people publicly, personally. You know this is true. You can always identify people who worship God privately. How? How can you identify them if they worship God privately? You can tell publicly. You can always tell publicly. They love to sing songs to God. They'll worship. They're not looking around at the stained glass or the beautiful roof or my robe that I'm wearing or whatever the case might be. They're worshiping God. They're oblivious to what's going on around them. I can just hear this now. Someone's going to get this tape and think I'm wearing a robe. But they're worshiping. It's the matter of their heart. It's natural to them. They worship God privately. They come to church and they worship God corporately. You can always tell those who don't worship God privately because they're like this. They don't know any of the words of the songs. They've been coming here for years. They don't sing them. They don't even know them. You know, the worship service is our moment to give to God. Did you know that? Now, through the teaching, is God's time to give to us through the Word. That's why we're to enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving first. Then He responds by the Holy Spirit through the Word. Don't ever expect God to ever speak to you if you're not a worshiper of His. Don't even ask Him. Worship Him. The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, that the Lord is spirit, and He is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that is, in spirit and in the knowledge of the Word. And Joshua knew something about corporate and private worship. This morning we come to, I think, a fantastic portion of Scripture that has got to hold our attention this morning, and we're going to talk about some theological stuff, which we do all the time, but this time it might seem a little dry. But hang on to your seats as we come to the punchline this morning as we look at possessing God's promises. 4 points to the message this morning. The first one is found in verses 11 to 13. If you're a note taker, you should be. Verses 11 to 13, and that is God's promises demand our efforts. That His promises demand our effort. We can sit here and just fold our arms and veg out and miss everything. Or we can say, hey, I want to get this, you know. You can tell your wife or your husband, keep me awake. I want to be ready. I want to get this. We have to discipline ourselves to be students of the Word. It takes an effort, verses 11 to 13. The second point is in verses 14 to 18, and that is to possess God's promises requires obedience on our part. That we need to obey God, for crying out loud. He's God. Oh, yeah. Whatever. He is God. Do you know that? It's incredible to think. Someone asked me this week, I have a really hard time with this time question. And I said, what do you mean you have a hard time? And I thought this was great, because this teenager asking this question. Yeah, you know, God, I mean, is He really outside of time? I mean, is there no time where He's at, or does He have a lot of time? Yeah, that was a great way of putting it. I said, no, He's outside of time. Time's a material entity. We know this. It's connected to light. Stanford University is made public and produced the fact that light is tangible now. You can create two things so small that light can't pass in between it, making it, among many other reasons, a material thing. Light is material. Light is connected to time. Time is material. It is not of the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is altogether spiritual and not of a material realm. God requires obedience from our lives and from our hearts to believe His word and do it. So this teenager this week was encouraged to obey God's word. He wanted to talk about time. Well, it's time to obey God's word. He commands us to be obedient. Thirdly, verses 19 to 20, God's promises, they give us peace. His promises give us peace, just like any promise of character should. Or from character, should generate peace. And finally, verses 21 to 24, that possessing God's promises, we should tell the world. First point, possessing God's promises demands our effort. It says here in verse 11, then it came to pass, here's that phrase again we've been seeing, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben and of Gad and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, they crossed over, armed before the children of Israel. as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. You've heard it. I just read it many times here. It says this, crossing over, to cross over. The word means to be on the move, to be obediently on the move and going. The children of Israel crossed over. Just for giggles, how many of you are Christians this morning? You'd say you're Christians. Raise your hand nice and high and don't give me this half hand thing. Look around. Just look around right now. Either you're telling the truth or you're lying right now, but your hand being up, you can put it down. Now listen to this. Don't raise your hand to this because we'd hate to have you indict yourself. But if God's people are to be putting an effort to God's promises and moving, crossing over, how many of you are on the move and crossing over? Really, as many hands as went up should go up again. And all honestly, if we're really following God, guess what? We should be crossing over. To not cross over, you can read all about that in Revelation 3, verse 14. In Revelation 3, 14, Jesus says, I know your works. In small print, it should say, and the lack thereof. He says that you're neither cold nor hot. He says you're lukewarm. You know the truth, you don't do anything with it. You raise your hand and claim you're a Christian, nobody would ever be able to tell. You're lukewarm. Your car might be saved, it's got a sticker on it, but no one knows about you. Lukewarm. Jesus said, I wish you were cold or hot. Why? If you're hot, you're hot. You're working for the Lord. You love Him. You're worshiping. Hey, Lord, what do you want to do? God says, get up this morning and cross over. Where? He'll lead us every day. He's calling us to cross over. You know it's true. Do you have any obstacles in your life? You have any difficulties coming up? How about life? Remember what Brett Williams said? He's just talking about it. I'm going to market this thing. Remember those little candy necklaces where you eat them off the ice cream truck? Take that same elastic and put Advil, Tylenol, aspirin. Keep it with you the whole time. Hey, that's what I need. Crossover. It might be just life getting up in the morning. God help me. He's got something for us to cross over to. Every day, if we're a believer, if we're not crossing over, guess what we're doing? We're standing still, or we're sitting down, or we're sliding back. And Jesus said in Revelation 3, He said, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I love how gentle the old King James is. He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. That sounds so nice. Spew. When girls vomit, they spew. They don't vomit, they spew. Excuse me, I have to go spew. I'm not feeling well. I think I need to spew. Not us guys. It's like, look out! And it's vavoom, you know. That's the word that Jesus used. Vavoom in Greek is, no. To vomit, to spew you, the new English word would be, honestly, I'm not joking to tell you, chuck, to puke, to heave. Jesus has said, I wish you were cold. You could be saved if you're cold. I wish you were hot. You would be doing something about your faith. But you're lukewarm. And I'm going to puke you out of my mouth, He said. It's so disgusting to Him. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But you're not crossing over. There's nothing going on in your life. You're not advancing. You're in the same place that you were this time last year as a Christian. Or the 5 years before. Nothing's happened. No, listen. To accept God's promises is to move and to act with effort. To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We're to be crossing over. By the way, all the Israeli people crossed over. Think about it. 2.5 million people crossing over. The priests standing there. I mean, everybody had a part. You might say, well, how do we know this? I mean, what about somebody might have failed along the way? No, your Bible says that when they had verse 11 completely crossed over, every one of them, from the biggest to the smallest, they all made it. And by the way, last week it said in verse 10 that they hurried across. I like that. Hurried for fear? I don't think so. Hurried because of obedience. They crossed over. In a month or two, we're going to, month or less, month and a half from now, we're going to be at this spot in Israel. We'll see it. You see where they crossed. But it says that they completely crossed over, all of them. Why? God had promised that. They all got across. Nobody missed. Can you imagine moving across quickly and everybody wearing sandals? You got babies, you got sheep, you got oxen, you got donkeys. They're all moving across. Can you imagine? You know when you get stepped on, someone steps on your heel, it gives you a flat in your sandals? They're probably hurrying across. Hey, get off my sandals. Wait a minute. Come on. They're all moving quick. I love that. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Man, we're getting in the promised land. 40 years we've been waiting for this. They move across quickly, believing God, putting an effort to their faith. Great challenge before them, challenge before us every day. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says that we, like newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that we can grow thereby. Are you growing? Is the word important to you? Or is this book just a book of, listen carefully, principles to live your life by? Doesn't that sound so benign and innocent? The Bible is a book of principles to live your life by. That sounds so noble. This is the Word of God. It is life. It's the instruction manual for everything that will come in contact in our lives. Life has been programmed to this book. There's nothing outside your life or my life that this book does not handle. Directly or indirectly, the word. Is it like milk to you, like a baby? It's so funny. You hold a baby. Sometimes when I'm dedicating the baby up here, when they're real little, and I'll hold them horizontal, they go. They think I could nurse them. They start searching. You ever seen that? In Israel, when the baby's born, the mother takes up the baby and begins to nurse the baby. But if the baby doesn't start nursing, you know what they do? They dip their finger in a, it's like a jelly, a jam. It has certain fruits mixed up in it, and it causes them to pucker. And the Hebrew moms, they'll take this stuff and they'll put it right on the baby's lip to get them to nurse. And they'll start sucking up. And they'll start nursing. And then as soon as the baby starts to nurse, this is the Hebrew mom. This is how they think, even to this day. As the baby begins to nurse, if the baby's nursing, where's their ear? Right by the mommy's mouth. And the mom says, first thing, the Lord, He is God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the second half of Joshua chapter 4, it's called Possessing God's Promises. It's a look at the actual history of Israel's people finally crossing the Jordan River after decades of living in the wilderness. Possessing God's Promises. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I gotta tell you, I've had the chance myself to visit the land of Israel with Pastor Jack a couple of times, but maybe you were unable to do so, and that's precisely why we're offering Live from Israel on DVD. You're gonna like this DVD. Live from Israel, subtitled Relationship, Not Religion, is a message taught by Pastor Jack on the southern steps of the Temple Mount, some of the very steps that Jesus himself walked. Once you watch this DVD, Scripture will come alive for you in ways that it never has before. Our offer for your tax-deductible gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this DVD. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention it by name, Live from Israel, Relationship, Not Religion, by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know exactly where to point and click. We've made that real easy for you, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Or if you'd like, send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.